my pleasure to be able to bring the first message of 2025 to you. And many of you will be aware of the fact, maybe some aren't, that Pastor Lloyd, who is our apostolic leader, has set the theme for this year as Go. And I really am very excited about that theme, the recognition that God so often commands us to go in so many different ways. He, of course, commands us to go into all the world and proclaim the good news. And that is something that I believe over this year we will have more and more opportunity to do. But also he speaks about being willing to go and love one another, being willing to go and serve one another. There is so much when we look at the Word of God that is around that whole area of go. And as our young people go out, we pray God's blessing upon them and upon those that are leading them, and that they will have a great time as they explore the Word of God together. But this morning I want to look at a verse that contains that key word go, and you will find it in Judges chapter 6. It's a well-known passage of scripture, and it's a verse that I believe is of great encouragement to us as we read about how the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for every man, woman and child that is here in this world. And that when we come into that place of discovering him through faith in Jesus, we have the opportunity to discover the plan that he has for our lives. And here we read about a young man who God had a great plan for, but a young man who actually didn't really think too much about himself. A young man who struggled with the concept that he could be used by God. And I wonder whether that might apply to some of you. Do you have that sense where when you look at your life, your feeling is, well, God can use everybody else, but God can't really use me. Do you have that sense of, well, I'm not very good at communicating, or I'm not very good at doing this, or I'm not very good at doing that? Or do you have an awareness that God has gifted you uniquely and created you uniquely for a purpose and a plan that he wants to fulfill through your life? And that it's rather a question of seeing what God has given to you that he can use for his glory that is so vital and so important. So we're going to read about this story from Judges chapter 6, and I am reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible, but do follow it in whatever version that you have. And I'm going to pick up from chapter 6 verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the oak tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, had been threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say, 'The Lord brought us up out of Egypt,' but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites?" Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole of the tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." Gideon replied, "If you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you." The Lord answered, "I will stay here until you return." Gideon hurried home. He cooked a young goat, and with half a bushel of flour, he baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the angel who was under the oak tree. The angel of God said to him, place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it. And Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and bread with the staff in his hand, and fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all he had brought. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, Sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. It's all right, the Lord replied. Do not be afraid, you will not die. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it, The Lord is Peace. What a powerful statement, the Lord is peace. For some of us, we need to recognize that that is where our peace can be discovered. And that recognition that the Lord himself brings us peace. Jesus' promise to us is that we would receive peace not as the world gives, but a peace that he gives. A supernatural peace. Peace, of course, is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And as we experience the power of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then peace is something that flows out of that relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. But as we reflect on this challenging call and on that key verse, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midianites, am I not sending you? There are one or two key things that I want to highlight. The first thing I want to say this is that the heart of the enemy is preventing you from developing into what God wants you to become. The heart of the enemy is to prevent you from becoming the instrument that God can use for his glory, which is the reason why he creates within us so often that feeling that somehow or other we have nothing to offer. If God has you still here on earth at this time in your life, then he has a purpose and a plan for you at this time in your life. And so very often we can look at our lives, and for me, as I am gradually getting older, I recognize that there are times when I begin to think to myself, well, I'm getting older now, and therefore perhaps it's time to settle down more. Perhaps it's time to be more restful. Perhaps it's time to be less engaged in the things of God. But I am realizing more and more how that as I am getting older, although I may not be able to contribute in the things of God as I used to be able to, there are still new areas and still new opportunities that God is opening up for me in order that he might be glorified through me. And the enemy may be trying to suggest to you that you have nothing to offer. And God wants you to know this morning that as we enter into this year of go, that you have the potential to do amazing things for God. For some of you, the key lies in prayer and intercession, a recognition of you being in touch with heaven itself, hearing what's on the heart of the Father, contributing to seeing the work of God grow and expand as you pray and uphold the ministry and the work of God in the fellowship that you are part of. So for some of you, it may well be in practical ways that you can contribute and you can minister into the life of the church. For others, it will be through the means of hospitality, connecting with people, revealing to them through that means of hospitality of the love of Jesus and the way that they can come to know and experience that love. So I want to suggest to you that you begin to ask the question at the beginning of this year, what does go mean for me? How does that open up opportunities in my life? Because you see, as the Lord comes and speaks to Gideon and says to him, Gideon, this is how I recognize what you are. Gideon didn't recognize how God recognized him. Because what God says to Gideon is, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, or the Lord is with you, mighty hero. And I can imagine almost for a moment that Gideon looked around to find out who it was that the angel was speaking to. Because he did not see himself as a mighty hero. He did not see himself as a mighty warrior. And yet here was God beginning to enable Gideon to see and understand how God saw him. There are times when we need to really capture a sense of how God sees us and what God thinks about us. You see, every one of us who's come to know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we are part of God's family. You and I are sons and daughters. You and I are related to Jesus, who we call our brother. And because of that family connection and that relationship, then all the potential of heaven rests in us. So that when we do make mistakes, as we do, when we do get things wrong, as we sometimes do, we are not suddenly excluded, we're not suddenly cast to one side by our Heavenly Father, but our Heavenly Father still looks on us, still values us, still appreciates us, still loves us, is still for us, because as Paul says in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are loved this morning. And God sees all the potential there is in you, even if you don't see the potential in yourself. But as you read his word, as you listen to him speaking into your life through the Holy Spirit, God will reveal that potential to you. God will begin to declare to you how he sees you. And his word is a brilliant opportunity for you to discover how God sees you and what God feels he can accomplish through you. But you see, part of the problem that Gideon had in the whole area of potential was in the fact that he looked around him and saw the various problems that were in place. And this is what he says: if the Lord is with us, why has this happened to us? Does not that sound familiar? Because he goes on to say, I've heard about the miracles of the past. Where are the miracles for today? And I am fully aware, having been a church leader now for well over 40 years, having been in church life, involved in church life for over 60 years, that there is that sense when sometimes I myself look around and raise that same sort of question. Why is it, Lord, that we don't seem to see the breakthroughs we're looking for? Why does it seem sometimes that we're on the back foot? Why is it that we don't seem to see the miracles that we've heard of that occurred way back in the time when the early Pentecostals were proclaiming the good news and people would come in wheelchairs and walk out completely whole? Where people would come in blind and they would go out seeing? And the question that arises, certainly in my mind, is, Lord, that was then, why is it not today? Now, it's interesting that God actually doesn't respond to that question. But what God wants us to understand is, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for us to live in that place where we have an expectation that we will see something of the greatness and glory of God and the breakthrough that we are looking for and longing for in our communities and in our world, and the miraculous outpouring of his Spirit and his power transforming, changing and creating an awareness of the goodness and the grace of God. And as part of this year, as we go, let's go in the knowledge that God goes with us. Let's go in the knowledge that he is able to do abundantly, exceedingly, above all that we could ask or think. Let's go with a renewed sense of faith and expectation. Let's go with that sense that God is going to move in power. See, problems can so often prevent us from seeing God at work. And here was God about to move miraculously, not only in the life of this nation, but through the life of this individual. And for some of you, the problems seem to almost be insurmountable. To show my age, there's a chorus that we used to sing years and years and years ago. God, any mountains you think are uncrossable. God, any rivers you think are uncrossable. God, any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what none other can do. And if the problem looks like a mountain that can't be tunneled through, it looks like a river that can't be crossed, then this year as you go in the expectation of great breakthrough. See, the difference between David, the warrior, and the rest of the nation of Israel when there was the giant to be faced, was the nation of Israel, including the king, saw the size of the giant and compared themselves to the giant and felt that he was undefeatable. David saw the giant in the light of God, who was himself undefeatable. And David came in the strength that God gave him. And so we then go on to see that what God says to Gideon in response to this question, if the Lord is with us, why has this happened? God says, you go in the strength you already have. You go in the strength you already have. In other words, Gideon, everything that you need to accomplish the plan and the purpose I have for you at this moment in time is already inherent within you. I have already given you everything you need in order that you might fulfill my purpose and my plan. And I want to reemphasize again, God has given you everything you need in order that you might fulfill his purpose and his plan. And as you consider what that might be for you this year, as we go, then allow that sense of recognition that you are equipped, that you are enabled, that God has given you the ability to be able to fulfill the purpose and the destiny that he has for you. And so often we don't recognize just what we have and the opportunities that God is giving to us. We see it so often in the life of so many of the men and women of God. I suppose one of the greatest examples is Moses. Moses, who is taken to a point where he sees this amazing sight of a burning bush, where he goes to see why it is that it's not consumed, suddenly discovers that he is in a place where God begins to speak into his life. He's standing on holy ground. And God begins to release him into his destiny. And the response from Moses is, I can't do what you are asking me to do. For some of you, that's where you have stood. You've said, I can't do what you're asking me to do. God is saying to you this year, I want you to step into your destiny. I want you to do what I'm calling you to do. Because it's not based on your abilities alone, although you will have abilities, but it's based on the strength and the power of my presence operating through your life in order that you might fulfill the purposes and the destiny I have for you, and in order that he, our Lord, might be glorified through that. Because for Gideon, he was a nobody. I'm so glad that God calls the nobodies of this world to fulfill some amazing things. See, what Gideon says is, I'm the least. I'm the least. Everybody is better than me. I'm not worth considering. Some of you need to know that you might think you're a nobody, but God sees you as a somebody. And God has something that he wants to accomplish in your life and through your life. For you to see yourself as he sees you. And to realize that he picks the weak things and the foolish things of this world to fulfill his purpose and his plan. I'm reminded of a little lad who had a small lunch. And when this little lad with his small lunch was brought to Jesus by one of the disciples, the disciple turns to Jesus and says, "Well, look, this is what we've got, but really this is nothing. This is nothing in comparison to the need is before us." But you see, Jesus takes hold of the nothing and the nobody, and then he blesses it, multiplies it, and flows through it to the blessing of others. And God wants to take hold of your offering, that thing that you have, that you're willing to present to him and say, "Lord, I can't see how I can be of any use. I can't see how this can be of any use. But I am coming to give to you what I have and what I am in order that you might be glorified through it. And I am willing to go and enter into whatever you want me to enter into in order that your love might be demonstrated and your power revealed." You see, because the nobody discovered this, that he was not a nobody because God was with him. He says, "I'm the least," and God says, "I will be with you." What an amazing partnership that is. "I will be with you." See, when you come to church, we come with an expectation that we come to enter into the presence of God. But when you go from church this morning, you don't leave the presence of God here. The presence of God goes with you. So that tomorrow, on Monday, if you're at work, or you're out in the shops, or you're meeting the neighbours, you are still walking in partnership with the power of God there with you. And there you can be the means by which he can reveal his love and power to those that you connect with. Our going is our willingness to become the instruments that he can use in order that glory might be brought to him. And what we can accomplish, we do not accomplish on our own, but we accomplish through the power that he gives to us and the power that flows through us. And so when you look at the community around you, when you look at your workplace, there you have opportunities to go and plant the seeds of the good news of Jesus to see a harvest result. For me, when I first came into church leadership, I, for many, many years, continued to be involved in my secular job as an insurance employee. And one of the things I discovered was that as a result of that job, it brought me into contact with lots of people who had no concept about the love of Jesus, no concept about what Jesus did, no concept about the whole area of knowing and discovering forgiveness. And in so many ways, just through natural conversations, there will be opportunities for there to be discussion around the good news of Jesus. It was not something that needed to be forced. It was something that just naturally happened as I was involved in that role. In the same way Graham was involved in the teaching area. And he too would have had those opportunities of just sharing the good news of Jesus. I want you to know that God is with you where you are. And where you are is an opportunity for you to be able to demonstrate and reveal the love of Jesus for those that need to see it. One of the things I recognise is when I left my employment role and went into full-time church leadership, then I then had to actively find ways and means of continuing to connect with those who did not know Jesus. Because it became very easy to then just simply connect with people who already have come to a place of faith. And I want to challenge you to be open to the individuals that God wants to take you to so that you can share the good news of Jesus with them. Maybe members of your family. It may be friends that you are connected with. It could be your neighbours. But to say, Lord, will you give me the means by which I might share the good news of Jesus with others? Because he will work in partnership with you. That's why that famous verse I quoted earlier on, go into all the world and proclaim the good news, carries on and says, and I will be with you until the ends of the earth. I finish with this final thought, that as this challenging call comes to Gideon, who the enemy was trying to prevent from developing into all that God wanted him to be, Gideon, who suddenly hears this prophetic word into his life that declares him to be a mighty warrior, a hero. Gideon, who in many ways allowed problems to discourage him and distract him from what God could accomplish and do in and through his life. Gideon, who suddenly realizes and understands that all the potential that was necessary for him to be what God wanted him to be was there already in his hands, given to him. Gideon, whose perception of himself was that he was a nobody, who was to discover that as far as God was concerned, he was somebody that could be used for God's glory. Gideon, who understood that there was a partnership that was forming as he went in obedience to the call of God in his life. He wasn't going on his own, but he was going in the knowledge that God was going with him. Gideon also was transformed and changed because he made this powerful discovery. He discovered that God would reveal himself to him in new and fresh and dynamic ways. Gideon wasn't really understanding it was God that was speaking into his life until that moment when he brought that offering and it was touched, and he suddenly understood that he had had a divine encounter with God himself. And it's that place of encounter that transforms. It's that place of encounter that motivates. That it is that place of encounter that releases. It is that place of encounter that enables us to enter into what God has for us. And so in this year, as we go in the strength we have. We go in the recognition that God is the God who comes to bring us into a place of encounter. And through that encounter, through us seeing him, through us connecting with him, through us coming into that place where his presence surrounds us and molds us and transforms us, like Isaiah. Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah dies, is called up into heavenly places. And there he sees the images and the revelation of the wonders of heaven and God himself. And out of that experience, there is a question that's asked, who will go? Who can I send? And the response from Isaiah is, here am I, send me. May that be our response at the start of this year of 2025, as the East Gateway Hub moves into its destiny, and as each of the fellowships in the hub sees the amazing things that God can do for his honour and for his glory. God bless you.